Hey, it's Fleet, Vaughn and Megan. Thanks.
Insert name here.
For downloading the podcast brought to you by MyRepublic.
Brought to you by MyRepublic, but what if I downloaded this using another provider?
Well, don't worry. They won't hold it against you. How's that for knowing no limits?
ZM's Fleet, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Funneling straight vodka.
Good.
Holy hell.
Like, what's Vic? Deathwish?
What's Vic University's specialty?
Well, a lot of people do law there, Vaughn.
Okay.
Yep.
It's not looking good for you if you're a criminal in like 15 years because your defense attorney's going to be like.
But politics as well, so drunk politicians and lawyers.
Well, I mean, they don't need to do much, do they? Pretty house being drunk when you're a politician.
Hey, are people sure it was straight vodka?
Yeah.
Man,
you can't just stop a funnel once it starts, too. That's absolutely bloody madness.
Yeah.
Where is this video? Jesus, I need to see. Is this on the Vic Deals page?
Oh, no, I haven't seen it. It hasn't popped up. Nobody sent it in for community notices.
Madness.
What's wrong with shots? You know, like, just a little bit at a time.
Man, it's making our student days look pretty tame, isn't it?
Well, we couldn't even afford to build a funnel. I remember I had to have a job before I could afford to build a good funnel. It was a bloody good funnel, though.
So what kind of vodka were they funneling? Because we would have been Christoph at the max.
Oh, you wouldn't have been a nice black-labeled Smyrny. No, surely not. Surely not. Like a 42 Valonis. Surely not.
All right, Secret Sound continuing today. We're at $40,000, so 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock this morning if you want to have a guess at that. Just if you need another listen there to the Secret Sound, all the guesses. I just
googled funneling vodka.
Yeah.
Apparently, it was quite a popular enema. You put it in a funnel and put the funnel up your butt.
The other way, right.
Pour.
Okay.
Okay. Don't do that.
No, don't do it either. I don't think funneling vodka.
Vic Uni students
any
more ideas.
No, sorry.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
All right, you lot, listen up. It's story time.
Three headlines. For interesting, unusual, weird news stories, Vaughn and Megan have to decide on one headline only. Headline one, boyfriend of Instagram goes the extra mile. You know the...
Boyfriends of
Instagram. Yeah.
Where people take photos of boyfriends taking photos of their girlfriends.
Yeah, and they're in some unusual positions. Yeah, like up trees.
Go up, what angle?
Yeah. Headline two, beer for sale, online pickup only. Headline three, student divorces teacher.
So is that one's obviously one of those student-teacher relationships. Has ended badly. Students filed for divorce in the end.
Yeah. There's a couple of high-profile ones.
Yeah,
this is probably the most high-profile from America.
Okay, that's me then. I'm in on that one. Because I think... Which was it? The woman that got with him, got divorced. No. Went to jail and then came out and got back with him and got pregnant. And then now they've separated.
Lady? Yes. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I held out a lot of hope for them.
they haven't made it.
They were the Ben Stiller and Christy Taylor of wildly illegal relationships to start with. I thought, you know, if they can't make it, what's the hope for the rest of us? Yeah. So maybe I don't need that.
Okay. Well, you're kind of that one. You've already got it all.
You've ruined it, haven't you?
Boyfriends of Instagram.
Okay, boyfriend of Instagram goes the extra mile.
Yeah.
Well, a man was with his girlfriend in Spokane, Washington, taking a photo at a lovely spot. I'm going to show you the spot. A 200-foot waterfall.
Wow.
Lovely spot.
Wow. Yeah. How much is 200 foot? Let me do a quick Google. That's 61 metres.
61 metres.
That's a very high waterfall.
So he's like, she's like, all right, well, I need a photo here. Take a photo of me here at this waterfall.
Yeah. Yes.
He went a little bit too far and slipped.
Oh. He's okay.
He plunged down the cliff, hitting the cliff. And plummeting to his death. No, Megan.
Oh, no. She's going to feel really bad. She'll feel really bad. Mm.
Did he get the photo though? Like, what's the
phone? No, I think the phone's gone as well.
Oh,
yeah.
No, could you get it like off a backup or something?
And what
was he updating the cloud?
What have people said? He should have stuck to the lakes and the rivers that he's used to.
Oh, well, he's dead. I don't know if this is the time to reference TLC. I just don't know if now's a good time for a top of comical waterfall. TLC. Yep.
He's chasing the waterfall.
He's dead.
Too late now.
That is a beautiful waterfall.
It is a beautiful waterfall, but yeah.
Wow.
You've got to be careful.
How did he fall, though? Because I thought...
Is he stepping back? He's
to take the photo, she would have been in the more precarious position.
Well, I don't know.
To get a good photo.
He's the one that's gone, yeah.
Jeez Louise.
And he's dancing along the cliff face to get a good shot.
But apparently... the spot where it happened in the park, they've put up fencing because people are always going to get photos at this place and they must have jumped the fence. So,
do you know in Iceland?
Yeah, at that famous rock.
Do you know there's like no safety fences anywhere?
Really?
No, my friend Johnny went and he was just like, he was amazed because even here, there's fences stop getting close to cliffs.
Yeah.
But nah, even like they're really full on geysers. There might be a little sign like, way back.
Yep.
Because they don't want to ruin your photos with ugly fencing.
Yeah.
But a little sign that'll say, just, you know, you are on a cliff edge or don't stick your face in the geyser hole, but you've been warned.
I kind of feel like those signs are self-explanatory though. Like,
but then the fencing, I would say also the fencing is don't climb over this for a reason, but then it's people will and then they die.
Yeah. Mm.
Oh, R.I.P.
Yikes.
Mm.
Jeez.
I don't know what else to say. Probably should have... Pick a better story,
I'm
really.
I'm
going to
cite this death as a reason next time when Sade, my wife's like, can you take a photo of me? I'll be like, oh, but that guy died. So
I can't
do it. We're just on the lawn. I know. Just out of, it's a respect thing. It's just out of respect.
Baby boomers in the news. We want to talk about this next.
What have they done now?
Yeah, we're going to throw some smashed avocado in their face. Good. Seems as though they've been on and on about the avocado on toast for so long.
That's why we can't buy houses. Smashed avocado.
Yeah. Our penchant for avocado.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Baby boomers are... What was that? Was it a hiccup?
No.
Was it in the sauce? Sorry, I thought you were a hiccup.
No.
Okay. Baby boomers, I believe these are the people that fall in probably our parents' age group. Kind of, it was post-war, there was a baby boom. When it went to a time of peace, everyone's like, well, what are we going to do now? And it's like, let's make babies.
Yeah, so those born between 46 and 55.
Oh, I always thought it was a bit longer than that. I always thought it was like kind of into the 60s. Like,
yeah, I think it's always...
It's weird. No one's got any like definitive rules on when like Gen X's or millennials.
Well, they say another one says ages between 51 and 69.
Right.
Yeah.
So baby boomers born in that age group, they're often the people you hear saying there's no, you know, if you want a house, you've just got to stop bloody traveling the world. You've got to stop drinking coffees.
Yep.
You've got to stop eating smashed avocados on toast.
Make your lunch more.
I bought a house when I was earning 25 cents an hour. Sure, the house cost $1, so I only had to work 4 hours to buy a house, but I bought a house and now you've got no excuse for not buying a house.
Stop your whinging work hard.
Yeah, work. Hey, you're not working hard enough. You're not stressed enough. You're not dying of heart attacks at 50 anymore. So apparently... They should be practicing what they are indeed preaching, as the number of baby boomers declaring bankruptcy is on the rise in New Zealand.
Huh.
It's
traditionally,
sad that gives me so much pleasure.
It is a weird thing to get pleasure out of, isn't it?
Yeah.
Someone else's financial demise.
So, yeah, it's actually quite horrible because they're about to retire and like never be able to work more and have to live. You know,
stop buying coffees on a pittance. Yeah, well, they're avocados.
Exactly. They love avocados. Well, actually, they don't. My mum's not a huge avocado.
They get
my
mum's already just younger than a baby. Fat, and they're like, fat's good. Fat's bad for you.
Now, give me my tea with four sugars in it
and my margarine.
Yeah, good old margarine. So then, the numbers are increasing. Generally, declaring bankruptcy is a younger person's game. Kind of shivers. I've been financially irresponsible in my 20s. I might just declare bankruptcy, not have any assets into my 30s, and then hopefully sort it out a little bit later on.
Yeah, so you wipe your student loan as well if you declare bankruptcy.
Really?
Think so? Yeah.
What's the rules? You're not allowed to own a business.
Yeah, there's a few rules. Yeah. And do you know another way you can get rid of your student loan?
Fake your own death.
Oh, yeah, I was just... Yeah,
you just went full.
Just
you went full
death.
Method.
Yeah.
You mean Jared Leto?
Yeah.
I was just kind of researching the role. You've actually killed yourself.
Yeah.
Right, okay, that's...
But no student loan.
That's a for it. Well, you're no life. No breathing. Yeah. No chance of getting any further loan.
Oh, yeah, okay. It's all.
So, yeah, people in the baby boomer era are actually struggling financially. So next time advice has been dished out from this great generation... And they're speaking on behalf of their generation
who owned homes and worked hard and you know, financially, you know, had their shit sorted. Tell them to take a look in a mirror because it might not be as wonderful as they're leading you to believe.
Well, they can sell me their mortgage-free home for half the price and then we're all sorted. They've got money. I've got a house. Ta-da.
Where are they going to live?
Oh, I don't know. I don't care.
But it's not your problem anymore. Not-
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
It's the top six.
Gone Vivi, everybody. Gone Vivi.
This is brilliant if you don't know.
Donald Trump tweeted, if you've not heard, he treated Gone Vivi.
He tweeted.
He what?
You said treated.
Did I?
God, you're just as bad as him.
I am him. He tweeted at about midnight American time. So where he was, it was about midnight. He wrote, despite the constant negative press convivit.
How's it spelled?
I always thought it had an N in it. No N.
No N.
Convivit. I've been saying convivit because it kind of rolls off the tongue a little bit better. But
and then that was it.
Convivit.
There was no deletion of the tweet for hours.
Everyone's like, sorry, what? He definitely had a few drinks, eh?
Like, no one in the White House at any stage was need to go.
Living in fear of him? Isn't he just a complete madman?
But you just let him, I mean, it's not easy to stand up against him if you're in the White House, but you'd just leave that tweet up. Like, yeah, just keep it there. Him hang himself.
Maybe that's the thing. Everyone's just like, you know, screw him. He's an asshole. Let him deal with these things himself. So today's top six is the top six are words that Covivi could possibly have meant. I put it into my phone at number six.
Yeah.
Nothing, actually. It didn't even have a suggestion in order for it. So I deleted one E.
Yeah, you know you're having a bad day or you're a terrible speller when not even Google can offer you a suggestion, eh?
Well, I Googled it too, but because it took off, and there's already Urban Dictionary definitions of convivir. It's where some of the definitions where you have a stroke mid-tweet. when you Google it now, it doesn't mean do you mean, because there's so many results for convivir.
It means convivir.
So I deleted the last E of convivir, and it said you might have meant confederate or conference.
Oh, okay.
So that maybe is what he meant. Number five on the list, he could have meant coffee. He was halfway through falling asleep and he started thinking, right now I could do with a coffee. Despite all the negative press, coffee. Number four, it's a code.
Ooh,
and I believe I might be onto something here. It's a code because all of the letters used actually correspond to elements on the periodic table of elements from science class.
Okay.
So what he actually meant was, despite all the constant negative press, carbon, oxygen... Vanadium, iron, because Fe was iron.
Okay.
What's put in my mind why Fe was iron?
Yeah, that sounds too intelligent for him.
Yeah. I would love to know what all those things mashed together would make, though. Like a metally.
Definitely something that would fizzle.
Oh, you'd hope they'd fizzle.
Yeah.
Number three on the list of what he could possibly have meant by convivit. He sneezed halfway through a sentence, and he was using the dictation on your phone. You know how you can be like, boom, and then you talk. I'll be home soon. Send. And it goes boom and sends. He was like, despite all the negative pricks, and then it sent and it. And he's like, right. And fell asleep. And number two, it's of what convivit could possibly have meant. It's a traditional South African term meaning coverage, famously used by Nelson Mandela when he got out of prison. He said, thank you for all the press convivit. When I was in prison.
Right.
And looking after my wonderful wife, Winnie.
Right.
Number one on the list of what convivit could possibly have meant. Apparently, this is the official word. He meant coverage. But he also totally fell asleep mid-tweet. Despite all the negative press coverage, then there'd be more to come.
Yeah.
He's just like your favourite old person, always nodding off in the middle of things. I remember as a kid staying at my Nana's. Nana would get up at like 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
But also not go to bed till like midnight.
How do they do it?
She'd be watching telly and she'd be in the middle of saying something. She'd be like, not off.
Ultimate cliffhanger.
Yeah. She'd all go during the day, but she'd just get to her time. Or like the other night when I was messaging Fletch on Facebook and I fell asleep with my phone in my hand and I apparently called him.
I was like, hello?
Because it wasn't at like 11 o'clock at night. It was really weird. What was your thought when your phone, Facebook call?
Well, I was in bed as well and I was like, why is Vaughn calling me? This must
Fletch
be
is like,
very serious.
Fletch is like, finally, he starts taking off his pants. This is on. It is happening after all these years. We are going to talk duty on the phone at 5 to 11.
A video call and leaves me hanging. Unbelievable. Convivi.
Convivi, everybody.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan. The podcast.
It's been a study done into our eating habits. And it has revealed that officially 18 to 34-year-olds, we're the worst at this, you tend to turn to fast food to beat the blues. So they're saying we emotionally eat.
This is huge. Did we need a study to prove this?
I think just the blues. Because when you say emotional eating, if I'm feeling any sort of emotion, I'll eat. Like if I'm happy, I'm like, let's celebrate by eating. If I'm sad, I'm like, you know what's going to make me feel better?
But if I'm angry,
it's
emotional.
It's time to calm down. I'm going to eat something.
I think it would be blues. It'd be like feeling a bit down, feeling a bit sinnies. And it might not necessarily have to be a breakup or something serious. It could just be you're in a bit of a downer, having a downer
and
day.
I get sensitive when I'm tired.
Yeah.
So that's just like all the time.
But what do you emotionally eat now that you're doing your what are you eating those dusty crackers?
The ear.
Do you eat ear?
Do you know what's really sad is that there's this hot chocolate that's only 4 calories because it's sugar-free.
Bet it's so grim.
No, it tastes really good because everything else I eat's just like pretty flavourless.
Christ, have you seen this box down here of what she's having today? It's like... a single tomato and a slice of cucumber and a click-clack and a sustainer.
Oh, I wouldn't buy a box. I think she had a cardboard box
and
full of...
cardboard crackers.
Oh, no, but that's every day. She looks so sad while she eats it. It's like, you shouldn't eat something that makes it worse. That's why maybe we're in trouble, though. We always eat our...
But that's why I can't get drunk, because if I got drunk, I'd be like, nom, nom, nom with the burgies. Because, you know,
that's the worst.
You lose a bit of.
That's the worst thing about drinking is all the food that you have to eat while you're drunk. Well, you do. You have to get a Bergs on the way home.
It's only sensible,
kebab,
actually.
Yeah, it is sensible. Yeah.
But the stats say 50% of us, half of us, turn to fast food specifically when we're feeling emotional.
Well, if you've had a bad day or you're just feeling a bit meh, it's easy just to get takeaways, isn't it? And then you might as well get some chocolate too.
Well, you're down there. You're at the shop.
you're down there.
I think mine's carbs. It'd just be any kind of carbs. You'd be like Thai with all the rice.
Okay. What about you, Vaughn? Do you have an emotional food of choice?
Just kind of eat what I want.
Okay. But what if you're having a really bad day?
Chocolate.
Ice cream?
Oh, chocolate. Yeah, I'll go for a bit of ice cream. But then in saying that, if I'm like not grumpy and not quite sad, but kind of in the middle, like tired.
Yeah. Okay.
You know where you're just like a bit frustrated with how tired you are?
Yeah.
But I find I can go all day.
Yeah.
Not sexually. That's
okay. That sounds what it sounded
like. Don't ever assume. But like when we get home from work.
Yeah.
You know, I got up super early.
Yeah.
So I get home and I can just keep, as long as I don't lie down. But the minute I like lay on the couch for 5 minutes, my day's ruined. Like I start being tired and then it's just like, I'm just going to eat some chips. And then you eat a bag of chips.
And then do you think, oh, well, I've stuffed it now. I've eaten chips.
I've buggered today rightly up.
I may as well
have some chalky biscuits.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What about producer Caitlin? Do you have, like, a go-to emotional food of choice?
I know this sounds, like, dumb,
yeah.
but it's actually, like, I've got a problem. Like, I need to go to rehab for it. But I'm addicted to peanut butter. And it's
you spoon
not,
it out, eh?
I spoon it out. Like, I literally I just love eating it by itself. But then I'm like, oh... Okay, I'll put it on a carrot, that'll be better. And then I'm like, I'll put it on a grape, that'll be better. I'll put it on an almond.
Everything.
Like, literally put it on everything. And then I can eat, like, a whole jar. Like,
but
it's
not that bad.
No, peanuts, it is bad when you're eating a lot of it, Fletch. I eat a lot of peanut butter. Like
a jar a day.
Like, I could definitely eat a jar a day. Like, if you just were like...
Jesus, how do you...
100%. Like, oh my God, I want it so bad right now.
But that's a lame emotional food.
I know, that is like... I don't know.
Yeah, you can get peanut butter everything. I'd put it
just
in.
Just never seen peanut butter ice cream. Okay, that'd be a good salad.
Peanut
salad.
Butter thick shake.
That's a real lame one, though. Like, I thought you would have gone ice cream or chocolate.
Do you know what?
No, definitely. Always
what about
chocolate.
Mashed potatoes?
Like, that's
I guess it would be like a potato and gravy would be your emotional if it was fast food.
If we're asking people now to call with their emotional food of choice, it doesn't have to be a junk food, does it? But then you're saying it is takeaways, 50% of people go to takeaways. Foods. James, do you have an emotional food? Do you get emotional?
Well, yeah.
When he's a rock wall this
he's
guy.
A rock
we
wall.
Don't do show any kind of emotion. I feel like, so I've got a KFC just around the corner from my house.
Oh, me too.
And I've got a McDonald's as well.
Do you smell it when the wind blows
I swear they've got a meter of like how vulnerable I am at any point. As soon as I get over a certain point, they just start fanning the smell of fried chicken towards my house.
Yeah, that beeping noise in a KFC is trying to take the chicken out of the deep fryer. James is feeling vulnerable. Crank the fan.
It's like just around the corner, but I might just drive around there and just, I could walk, but, you know.
Well, no, you're feeling vulnerable. You know, shouldn't walk.
Too far. It's fried chicken, for sure.
All right, so whether it's chicken, whether it's chocolate, ice cream, what is your, maybe it is a weird food. Is your food of choice if you're feeling vulnerable? Give us a call 0800 dial ZM 9696 to text.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, as Megan pours her tofu smoothie into a cup.
I have to eat it now because everyone's talking about yummy food. I'm like,
So 50% of New Zealanders in a new study say that they emotionally eat. I think a few people are lying.
The other 50% just don't want to admit that they emotionally eat or don't know what that means.
Yeah. So what is your go-to food, your go-to junk food, when you're feeling a little bit vulnerable? It doesn't have to be junk food. Some people have some unusual food choices when they're feeling a bit down.
Combination. Now, this makes sense. Somebody said, I'll drink a whole bottle of Nippies iced chocolate.
Nippies.
Good iced chocolate.
Nippies is a classic.
It's good iced chocolate. But then they have to eat a whole lemon. It was one of their pregnancy cravings. But now I'm not pregnant and it's just a comfort food. So it's like the super sweet and then the tang. Right.
So they're feeling down. They're like, I'll have a Nippies and a lemon.
Yeah.
Great.
Somebody else messaged in saying, I'm disturbed at the amount of people that are messaging in and no one's mentioned an insane amount of hot chips yet.
Oh, God.
Like fish and chips.
They said with either you can get chicken salt there or take it home and have your own chicken salt at home. They've got the at-home chicken salt or what is that, mayo?
Good Foods Mayo.
Best foods. They said that mayo with the blue lid. So I automatically knew which one, but not the name of it. And somebody said nothing beats just eating as much delicious creamy mashed potatoes and sausages as you can.
I go Maltesers or chocolate. Rachel, what's your go-to when you're feeling a bit vulnies?
I have a really, really bad habit and I drive around to different fast food places and get my favourite item from each.
to make the ultimate combo.
Yeah, so I get like chips from a Porto, like Wicked Wings from KFC, and then I get like Carl's Jr. and McDonald's, and then I have to like go to a dark place and shame eat in my car so no one can see.
Shame eating.
Hey, we've all done a shame eat.
Everything you've just named is within cooey of each other on Lincoln Road in West Auckland, but I can't think if there's a KFC on Lincoln Road.
Whereabouts in the country are you, Rachel?
I'm kind of South Auckland, so.
Right.
Do you have like an area that services all of those?
Let's be honest, you could do this in any town or city in New Zealand, really. Mm. You could do the loop of a lot of those places.
Do you hide the other food items down so the people in the drive-thru or whatever can't see that you've bought for?
Yes, I feel like a traitor if they can see the bag, so I always like cover them
Don't let them know I'm cheating on them. Rachel, thanks.
Great news. You're right. There is a KFC on Lincoln Road. It's on the other side of the road. Yeah, right. Good work, you.
Lisa.
Not West Auckland resident knowing where a West Auckland KFC is.
Oh, God.
Lisa, what's your comfort food of choice?
You know the toffee milks that you used to get as a kid, like the little thin ones, like the solid caramel?
Oh, the Whittaker's ones.
Yeah. Haven't they made a new chocolate bar of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it basically just tastes like salted caramel. But, like, I can sit and eat about 20 of those in one sitting.
Oh, my.
Doesn't mean you should.
No, but.
You should, but it tastes good.
Is that if you're having an emotional day, you're like, you just stop by the dairy or the supermarket and buy your toffee milks?
Yeah, because they come in, like, packs of five at the dairy down by my house. And so I just go in and I buy, like, all of them.
Oh, and does the dairy owner know that you're having a bad day?
No, he just laughs every time I go in. He knows that's what I'm there for.
Your dairy owner should know And then they can be like, are you okay? Like, imagine how great you'd be back at that dairy. It'd be your favourite place to shop if you had an armful of chocolate and the dairy owner's like, are you okay today? You'd be like, I am. Thank you.
So we wouldn't really care.
I'd just be like, shut up and give me the chocolate. I'm going home to cry.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hey, Lisa, thanks for your call.
All good.
Let's turn to Kevin. What do you emotionally eat, pal?
I can seagull at least half a kg of bacon.
Seagull. And your name's Kevin.
Kevin Bacon.
Hot. Kevin Bacon. How do you seagull bacon? You're talking not really chewing it, just kind of.
Yeah, eating it faster than you can chew.
Do you just eat it on its own, or do you put it in like a sandwich?
No, just on its own. Oh, emotional.
Okay. How much do you cook it? Do you like cook it, or do you like cook it till it's crackly?
Oh, a little bit crackly, just on the limit.
Yeah, you don't want to cook bacon too.
No, I see dry. People cook bacon to the death, and I'm just like what have you done?
Right. Really? Yeah. No. That's such a blokey food to emotionally eat too, isn't it? Half a kg of bacon. Love it. All right, thanks, Kev.
Some other messages in. I'll have been known to sit down and eat an entire jar of gherkins when feeling particularly emotional. No, yeah. Pork buns, and I discovered a place where I can take them home frozen and I just steam them in the microwave for a few minutes and boy, oh boy, can I have a good little binge there. Somebody else said, I missed the start of this. Are you guys talking about this because it's junk-free June? We're not, now as a show, we would like to apologise to people on day one of junk-free June.
Sorry.
Who just had to...
Welcome to my nightmare.
Deal with it. Yeah, Megan's been living junk-free June all year, so...
At least we're prepared for all of the junk-free Juners, Vaughn, having Megan...
Yes.
Who, by the way, poo-pooed our yum cha plan.
Because I can't eat anything. I'm not going to sit there and watch you guys eat for 2 hours.
Please be part of the team.
And what?
Just bring your crackers. I'll explain to the people working there that...
I need to BYO crackers.
Yeah, she needs to bring her own crackers.
Yeah.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan. The podcast.
ZM's $50,000 secret sound. Season 3. Tell me what the secret sound is.
Good morning, Michelle.
G'day, how's it going?
Good, it's good. While you were just on hold there and you're like, I'm going to get a guess at the secret sound, were you spending the money in your head?
No.
Oh, okay. $40,000 though, like you must have had a little. Like, what would you do with that?
I don't even know at the moment. Pay the mortgage off.
How very sensible.
It's very sensible.
I don't
sensible.
Know I what this means, but I've got itchy feet for you.
Is that a sign?
Might be athlete's foot flaring up. Might have just been a little bit of something funny in my sock this morning.
Yep. Sure. Okay. All right. Let's have a listen to the secret sound. All right. It's $40,000. Michelle, what is it?
Is it pushing the release button on the laptop docking port to remove the laptop?
I don't know what that means.
This is what regular people do in the office. They have laptops that go on
docks. How you got a laptop and you got a port replicator thing that you dock the laptop on?
So you're talking to a bunch of Mac users in the studio?
A keyboard or something?
Yeah. And
into your screen and stuff.
It's like a charger that you use and you put your laptop on it.
Have you not seen these? Everyone's got them in the office.
Oh, I don't go into the office. It's a lot of people.
It's a very specific, it's a good guess because we've got these in the office.
It is a very good guess and it's one of the things we walked around the office and like kind of did in the early days of the secret sound while we were trying to figure out what the sound is.
Okay.
But that's not the secret sound, so.
Okay.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan's community notices.
Community notices is where we have a look at what's happening in your neighbourhood according to the Facebook page.
Yeah.
One of the massive ones that's been everywhere, it's been online. I think it even made it to one of those big Facebook pages, a Lad Bible or something, was the guy who's looking to swap his leftover fish and chips for some ciggies. Really hard to... It took a long time to decode it
it's
work
Kiwi,
it out, but I just feel it's been everywhere, so...
As Kiwi as it gets.
I'll tip the hat to it, but...
Yep.
It's not featured in today's community notices, like this one from the Northern Beaches Buy Sell page.
Okay.
Where Claire has listed for sale a blonde plait. Natural blonde hair. There you'll see there's a plait.
Oh. Why would anyone buy that? Like for a doll?
Well, that's what it says. It says this is a natural blonde hair plaited. It's been stored in a plastic bag inside a box for approximately 30 years by my mother.
Oh, no, 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 that's creepy.
It was from my first haircut when I was a child. So they went from having very long, blonde, plaited hair.
There'd be some sickos.
Why doesn't she donate that?
Well, she can't donate it to a wig charity as it's over 5 years old.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I had no idea.
Hair, this might be a dumb question, but does hair deteriorate, right?
Because isn't it already dead? Is it dead once it's out of your scalp, or is that just a myth?
Or I don't know. I've not look into hair myths so much.
And do you reckon pube hair would be stronger than, like, other hair?
Totally stronger.
Have to be. Yeah.
Thicker. Would you, as a bald man, in the early in the infancy stages of your balding, because to me now it's done. It's like, I don't care. People are like, oh, you could get that tattoo thing. I'm like, yeah, but everyone knows I'm bald. So what's the point of all of a sudden having hair again?
Yeah.
Because then I'm just the guy that people are going to talk about for having a weird tattoo on his head.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, what do you guys talk about? They're like, no,
Plus, people know that it's a Playboy bunny tattoo. And that it's not here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a thing. Yeah, you get a a collection of Playboy bunny tattoos all over each other, and you get okay. Infancy stages of your balding. The doctors say to you, so you're losing your hair. You go to one of those clinics.
Yeah.
Would you like to be part of a new trial where we take your pubes and put them on your head?
Now, if you your pubes.
A pube transplant.
If you keep them short, no one's going to notice.
Right. So you'd always have to shave them.
Not shave. Like, shave like you do now.
Yeah.
But shave, like, number four. Keep it short. Because if you grow, if you start growing it longer, it will...
be wiry.
It will be wiry. And sort of unbrushable.
No, but do they soften if you condition and brush?
No. They just, it's a different... It's a, it's a very coarse
hair. They're pube-like. No, I'd say
they'll grow
longer.
The rest of your hair keeps growing, but the pubes grow to about 2 inches and then real curly.
Real close up, they're, like, flat, eh? Yeah.
They are different. They're almost square.
Yeah.
I'll say no.
I'm also passing.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, you know what? I probably, in the early stages...
You would have done it?
Probably.
Okay. You couldn't tell anyone because you'd be pube-head.
Oh, you tell one person, it gets around pretty quick.
Yeah.
Next post. That's right, we're doing community notices.
Good chat, though.
Great chat. Something to think about. Maybe put it to a friend of yours that's balding. But don't go on about it, because we know we're balding. When I was balding, people are like, oh, you're balding. It's like, yeah, I know. I see myself in the mirror every day. Next comes us from the Mount Albert community page. This is a lovely area of Auckland that comes close to One Tree Hill. And Sophie Pascoe, not the swimmer.
Okay.
Another Sophie Pascoe, but name's the same.
Yep.
Said, if the person who decided to, it would be quite nice to defecate near the archery field is in this group. Please, in future, use the nearby toilet facilities. One of my dogs, who has a questionable palate, thought it was a good idea to consume your unpleasant offering to the community. Honestly.
That is so grim.
What are you eating? Oh, no, stop. Yuck. I couldn't stop him. He then proceeded to throw up through my car, which you can imagine was the last thing I needed after 8 hours of being at work.
So
thank you in advance for being a responsible defecator in the future.
Wow.
Grim. Sagrim. This one from the Hikarangi community page. Hi all, by any chance has anybody got an okay condition armchair they're willing to part with? Maybe even you can drop it off as I don't have a car.
You're asking
photos
a lot.
Photos before dropping off would be awesome. Thanks.
For free? What is wrong with people?
I need a delusional free armchair, I need it delivered, and send me photos because I don't want shit ones. But every community's got these people.
Oh my God.
Let's finish now with one final post on the Whangarei page.
Okay.
Whangarei, shame on you window washers at Manu Road in Whangarei. We've let you use our outside tap to help you on your journey to better yourselves. One of you guys that's a part of your team has let your whole team down. All you had to do was know your boundaries and just use the tap. But oh no, you had to ruin it for everybody. Let this be a lesson on how to work as a team and respect the people that in their own way are supporting your business. Think, where would the window washers be without water?
Yeah, true.
The tap, that's one of their most important resources. That and one of those squeegee brushes they stole from a forecourt of a petrol station is
it's
what
your bread and
they
butter.
Need. It is, it's the bread and butter. First, one of you was caught looking into the windows of our cars and caravan. Then another one was caught walking around the front and outside of our home. Then for three days, we monitored the buckets that were stored down the back of our driveway. Discovered that the amount of buckets were increasing. Now, so they're storing the buckets on site.
Okay.
Like, these people should be charging them now. Yeah. They're using water and also buckets. We've reported this to police and have installed cameras around the house. And we have had to block our driveway to stop. As the final straw was, one or two of your teammates shitting in the buckets on our driveway at our home and leaving them around the back of our house. You boys have let me down so much. I shan't be letting this continue. It's disgusting. You've ruined your opportunity from someone who once supported you in a world where not many would. Let me, please know, I'm angry and disappointed.
So community notice is a great reflection on our society today.
Yeah, a lot of poos out there, as it turns out. Lots of poos out there. Those are today's community notices. If you see anything on a Facebook page you belong to, screen cap it and send it to ours.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
I'm involved in something. It's ongoing. I thought I'll publicly mention this now in case there's an altercation.
Okay, right, okay.
In case something happens to you.
You guys are all going to be in.
Right, in case you go missing.
I could go missing.
Okay.
I could go missing. So to start from the start, friends of the show, very lovely people, Roxborough residents.
Yep.
Lee and Jillian, they have a photon ute. Futon.
How's it spelled?
F-O-T-O-N.
I say futon to them because it's a joke.
It's been a running joke for a while.
It has been. They moved from Wellington to Central Otago.
Yeah.
And you move to Central Otago and you've got a ute. It's got to be a well-known ute brand because you're surrounded by high-country farmers and people that take
utes
pretty
seriously. You need to be a label basher ute.
So when you rock into town with an unknown ute brand, a photon, the locals make a bit of fun of you. Yeah. And I was more than happy to get on board of making fun of them for their photon.
You're from a farming community.
You've got it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got your Ford Rangers, your Holden Rodeos, your Toyota Hiluxes, your Nissan Navaras. You know, those are ute brands that farmers will buy. You've got your other ute brands like the Photon. You've got your Great Walls, your Sanyongs and your Mahindras.
Okay.
So they're like when the farmers, buy a Mahindra, you're going to get milked.
It's just
so
what happens.
They moved from the city to the country and they took their Photon with them. And it became, when we went down to Roxborough in January, it was a little bit of there was a bit of back and forth.
With
me and the locals versus Jillian and Lee for their townie ute, their Photon. So the other day in my timeline, some targeted advertising pops up for Photon.
Right.
I tag in Lee and Jillian. I'm like, oh my God, one other person has bought a Photon ute. Because it had a guy driving.
So you're running your mouth.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
There's a bit of back and forth. Photon, Photon New Zealand, because they run the Facebook page that it was posted on. Because that's the thing. I don't really think about who reads this when I'm just start talking.
Yeah.
They get it behind Lee and Jillian. They're like putting up these t-shirts that they're going to make them. They're like, Photon. Lee's smart. Be like Lee, Photon. And then that all involves, and I'm just like, yeah, okay, maybe we put less time into t-shirts and more time into utes. We'd have a better ute on our hands. There's a bit of back and forth. Then Photon invents hashtag Team Jillian, because Lee goes in the middle of Jillian. Yeah. So now there's Team Jillian, and I'm like, come on, guys, let's concentrate on utes here. Get some utes happening.
How much spare time do you have?
I just get a notification, and it pops up on my Facebook, and I just bang, 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 bang.
You're such a smart ass.
Put him in front of like these people at Photon, you'd be like, no, I'm sorry.
Oh, I really like your ute. It's got everything I would ever need in a ute. Four wheels and steering wheel and seats and such.
Vaughn, what ute do you have?
I don't have a ute. You've got a Honda Accord that I fold the back seat down on if I want to use for anything too.
Yeah.
You're just a keyboard warrior, basically.
Yeah. Without the racism.
Okay, yeah.
So it goes on. Yesterday, I get tagged in another post on this ongoing battle.
Yeah.
And now they've brought in some real star power. First of all, I see the picture. I'm like, I know that. It's Liam Messam.
Yeah.
Chiefs rugby player and All Black.
Yeah.
Former All Black, Liam Messam. And he's standing there holding, in front of a Photon ute.
Yeah.
Holding a sign that says Team Jillian. And I'm like, okay, that's all photoshopped. Like,
yeah, right.
Then I notice it's a video.
Yeah.
So I'm like, have they just photoshopped on Team Jillian on there?
Yeah.
And it's a video of him just talking about a photon because he'd probably be sponsored. You know, most rugby players have are ambassadors or have car sponsorship. Yeah. So I press play on the video and this is what happens.
Julian Lee, I'm Liam Messam and I'm with you 100%. That Vaughn Smith, he just don't know. Team Julian.
Okay, so, wow, all right.
So now it's me versus, as it first started, me versus Julian and Lee.
Yep.
And Photon.
Yep.
And X All Black. And really tough, big, huge dude, Liam Messam.
Right. Wearing a t-shirt that says Team Liam.
So I said, if we're calling in the big guns, I am old friends with at Ford Ranger New Zealand.
Oh.
Pull them in. Do you know what? They've left me high and dry.
And
really, like, I'm like, it's like someone from school calling up and being like, hey, we're old friends, eh? You're like, not really. I haven't seen you in school. Bye. And you're like, I'm all by myself.
Right. Yeah. It's like that time you wanted a Range Rover. That's not happening, is it?
Land Rover.
Land Rover,
but they were owned by Range Rover or vice versa. I'm not sure.
Well, maybe you might have to
get a Photon.
Well, Monty Beetham's teamed up with Mahindra.
Right, okay.
So how desperate a Great Wall? I don't know. That's the thing. Am I sure was I wanting too much trying to associate myself with the Ford Ranger?
Yeah.
Or the Volkswagen Amarok. Yeah. Well, anybody that wants to give
me
a free
What does your wife think of these shenanigans?
Oh, last night, I was like, oh no, because she's aware of this.
Right.
I was like, I've got Liam Messam involved. Yep. She's like, you're effing kidding me. And I was like, okay, calm down.
Well,
Liam. Sounds like she's about to jump on their team.
Yeah, she loves the rugby players.
I'm like, calm down. And she said, Liam Neeson. How did the Photon get Liam Neeson? It's massive. He was on Love Actually. I was like, what are you talking about? I'm Liam Messam. She's like, Liam Neeson, the Irish actor. No, Messam. Neeson. Messam. Messam. And I showed her a photo and she's like, that's not Liam Neeson. I was like, no, I know it's Liam Messam. Right, equally as scary as Liam Neeson. Yeah.
You're listening to the Fleetch, Vaughn & Megan podcast, brought to you by the team at My Republic.
Yeah, One Republic. With hit songs such as Apologise.
It's My Republic.
Yeah,
that's One Republic.
One Republic.
So I'm not here to promote the 2007 album Dreaming Out Loud.
No.
That actually makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I'll just stop this now then.
Okay.
Yeah, My Republic have no limits, but I sure do. If you're sick of limits, sign up to My Republic using the promo code podcast and you'll get a month free on top of what is already a great deal.
So there's been a study done about our eating habits, our junk food habits and our lifestyle. Sea Lord have done this. So they must want us to eat more fish fingers. I don't know why.
It's very junky.
Turned tuna.
It's quite amazing because they asked a lot of New Zealanders about their eating habits, their junk food and their health. This is an amazing fact. 79% of Kiwis are exercising less than 2.5 hours a week. Now that 2.5 hours is what the Ministry of Health recommend as a good amount. That's
like
half an hour a day. So
only on the weekdays, take the weekend off.
Take the weekend off, sure.
I remember the push play. You remember the massive...
Yep.
30 minutes a day, you got to push play.
Word. I'm rapping. I'm trying to reach the youth. Get out there and get off your butts.
That's how you reach people, as you do a rappy jingle.
Well, I remember it.
Yeah. That's true.
Doesn't
you
make
do.
Me get off the couch necessarily. But
so you think about it. So most people, if you went to the gym a couple of times a week, maybe you walk to your car, from your car to work, that might be 5 to 10 minutes, depending on where you park in the big cities, you know, like.
Yeah. Oh, so is that all walking counts?
Or any activity.
Yeah.
So there are 79% of Kiwis,
so
not
80%, so
not doing 2.5 hours a week.
If you had 5 Kiwis, that meant 4 of them aren't doing 2.5 hours.
Why didn't you just say 10 and then say 8 aren't?
I just thought 5 was an easier, a more palatable number.
Right, because you're lazy, you chose this. Yeah.
I did. I'm part of the problem. Wow. Like, I'm lazy.
Yeah, crazy.
I'm lazy.
But you run most days.
I could do that. I'd do that most weeks.
Because I go to the gym, so in every other aspect of my life, I can be lazy.
Do you do anything when you get there, or do you just turn around and go?
No, I do it.
Actually, Caitlin, didn't you go to the gym just recently? In your car?
Yeah, so this is not just recently, Fletch. I've done this probably about 5 times.
Yeah.
If there's no parking at the gym, I just forget that I'm going to go to the gym and just
fridge,
go home.
Fridge.
Because you need to be able to park.
Yeah, I blame the gym for that because you're like, well, there's no park, so you don't get me today.
And you don't want to park down the road and walk to the gym, eh?
No.
Because that would be terrible.
Because then when you're at the gym, you work hard, and then when you get out, you're like, oh, I'm tired. I need to go home to bed.
Yeah.
So you need to jump in your car.
This is what I wanted to ask this morning because we're obviously very lazy. We're lazy people, a lot of us. The other day, a friend was coming over to visit, lives up the road 800 metres, drove.
Was it raining?
No.
In central Auckland, it would have taken longer to find a park.
Because, yeah, you know, when you come around sometimes.
Oh, sometimes 800 metres away from your place is the closest park.
I know.
Was it, did they have to go up or down a hill?
Well, no, if they'd gone up a hill one way, they would have gone down the hill the way back.
Oh, you're not walking up a hill at any point. Drive.
You're terrible. You're one of these people.
If it's flat, I'll walk 800 metres, maybe. But if I have to go up a hill to get there or get home, I'm not doing that.
You're not going
to
do it.
Really?
So this is what I wanted to ask this morning, and you can call 0800 DialsM 9696. What is the laziest thing you've done? Your pinnacle of laziness.
Pinnacle sounds like they're like you've climbed a hill, though, doesn't it? To reach your pinnacle of laziness sounds like hard work.
Like living over the road from a fast food place, but still driving just to go through the drive-through when you could walk.
When I lived in Hamilton East on Wellington Street, 9 Wellington Street.
Yeah.
For anyone that knows there, like five people probably know where that is. But it was less than, we were always on to get one of those clicky wheels. You know those wheels that you measure out a meter
every time it clicks,
it's a meter and you count it? We wanted to measure how far it was. If you're actually using Google Maps now, I could probably work out how far it was. Less than 200 metres to KFC. But every time there was a flat run for KFC, everyone got in the car to go. By the time we all were like, let's go, get in the car, sort it all out, argue about what song we were going to listen to.
If you're in your fat pants, though, you can just go driveway, drive through, home.
Yeah, well, that's all we did.
Yeah. Perfect.
And even if there was like a line for the drive through, but nobody in the store, you still just sat in the car. Rather than get out and do any form of exercise.
So right now, give us a call. Your pinnacle of laziness.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan. The podcast.
We're talking about your pinnacle of laziness. When you really nailed being absolutely lazy. We're going to have some text messages and some calls on this. Someone said, laziness for me, the pinnacle, was when my Fitbit registered me as having a 3-hour sleep in the afternoon, but I wasn't. I was just on the couch. Watching television. I moved so little and my heart rate was so low that it registered a 3-hour nap.
That's some sass from that Fitbit, eh? Unbelievable.
I know. It's like, I know you weren't sleeping, but it's time to take a look at yourself. I put a fridge beside my bed in my room and have disguised it as a bedside table. However, it's just full of snacks, so I don't need to leave my bed when I want a snack.
Oh my God.
That's my pet hate at a hotel or a motel when you hear the little mini bar humming.
Oh, yeah, that's right by your bed
that.
Now.
Yeah, I'd hate that.
Somebody else said, my family all live within 400 metres of each other.
Yeah.
But if we ever have a family gathering, like a birthday or something, everybody drives for some reason.
Why?
I don't know.
You've got stuff to take. Put it in the car.
Maybe.
I like how you're justifying that, Megan. Yeah.
So much. So just. I think I'm bad. How about this? Somebody said, I was lying on the couch, too lazy to get out and get the remote off the coffee table. It was about 2 feet in front of me. So I texted my son in his room. He was doing his homework. Rather than call out, text him saying, come here, I've got something I want to tell you.
Yeah.
He came out. I said, I just want you to know that I love you very much. Can you pass me the remote, please?
You interrupted his homework.
Yeah, but at least he got a compliment.
I got a nice little,
I love you's not a compliment.
I hope they gave it a bit of time. I love you. Like, I just want you to know I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
Like, doing your homework. I love you.
Yeah.
Oh, while you're here, can you pass me that remote? Yeah. Not like, I love you so much, so proud of you for doing your homework. Pass me that remote. There's got to be the pause.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'll run to you.
Grace, what was your pinnacle of laziness?
So I was feeling a little bit worse for wear one day. And I called Hell's Pizza. Well, no, I didn't. I went online. I lied already.
Yeah. I mean, the phone's too far away, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, totally. No, the laptop was sitting on my knee. I was already watching Netflix.
Yeah.
And I put in the order instructions for them to put it through my window, which was up against my bed.
So you literally didn't have to get up when they delivered it?
No.
Oh.
Did no.
And he did it.
Oh, amazing.
And the worst thing was I woke up the next morning with, like, chicken and pizza, like, just all through my bed.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So you were two days and even put the box on the floor when you were done.
Oh, totally.
You're my bandmate now, pizza. Please don't make a mess.
Thanks for your call, Grace. Melissa, what was your pinnacle of laziness?
So my pinnacle of laziness was my little boy who's four.
Yeah.
You hear him crashing around in the other room. And he comes in and he wanted me to get up off the couch and go and look at what he's done.
Yeah.
I don't have the energy for that.
Yeah.
So I gave him my phone and I was like, hey, buddy, go take a picture and then bring it back to show me.
That is some great, that's great that's parenting.
That's great.
Take mommy a picture of what you've done.
Yeah.
The best it was when he was taking the pictures, he was going, cheese.
Cute and lazy.
Cute and lazy. Yep. Hey, Melissa, thanks for your call.
Some other messages in. Somebody said, to my friend, we're going to go to the gym. I'll meet you there. Let's both run.
Yeah.
Because they live the same distance away from the gym. Let's run. And their friend drove and parked just around the corner and watched for them running. And then when they saw them, they jumped out of the car and like ran and were like, yep, that great warm up, great cardio warm up. And then went into the gym and their friend said, I'm going to do this. And they said, I'm going to do a class. But then they just went and hid in the bathrooms and didn't do anything. So
why go?
That.
Why go?
There's that. Somebody said, we drove to get a delicious burger. We could not find a park. We finally found a park and my friend said, can you get out of the car and help me back in? Tell me when to stop. No, I'm not getting out of the car. That seems like too much work.
Yeah.
So then I opened up Google Maps and saw that we were now closer to her flat than we were to the burger place. So we drove back to her flat and got Uber Eats.
Oh my God.
And
what's wrong with us?
Somebody else said, my mum often tells me to go and vacuum my room just if I look like I'm about to get up to trouble.
Yeah.
I've just... got a really great realistic vacuum sound effect off YouTube and I'll play it through the stereo in my room. And then just lie on the bed with something against the door and try in case she tries to come
it's
in.
It's not cleaning the floor, is it?
But they say it's even got to the point now where they don't even get the vacuum cleaner out of the cupboard.
Oh, right.
But they've got so comfortable and their laziness, they're not even trying at all anymore. So there you go. It's very little surprise after hearing these stories that 80% of New Zealanders aren't getting 2.5 hours exercise a week.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
$50,000 Secret Sound, Season 3. Tell me what the secret sound is.
Nicole, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, this is your chance now to win $40,000 cash.
Oh, yeah.
All right, only a few people in the whole world know what the secret sound is. Ross Boss is one of those people.
And I'd quite like to get my sleep-ins back. So if you could get it right, that would be great.
Filling in for Soundkeeper Gary, you're really pulling the hours.
Yeah, like 7 till 5. This is hard, guys.
You got a confetti cannon in the face yesterday from Vaughn?
You know what? I went to the toilet not long after, undid my pants, and confetti just fell out.
That's got to be a good feeling.
Yeah.
That's a good advertisement.
And then I got home and took my hat off last night and confetti came out of there as well.
It did. Look, there's some caught in there and I didn't even shoot it this year.
Good stuff.
All right, well, those confetti cannons await, Nicole, because if you can tell us what this is, we're going to fire those confetti cannons and give you $40,000 cash thanks to Save My Bacon Little Loans. No surprises.
Yeah.
What do you think it is?
I think it's an intercom button or switch being pressed, being released.
Oh, like...
We do have intercom. Megan's got an intercom button there. That's why. Put your mic up. This is the intercom button in the studio. Yeah. That sounds a bit more clunky, that one, doesn't it?
But it could be one around.
Yeah.
I kind of thought like the security door one.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, man, it clunked like, oh, I'm here, I need to be let in. That one.
Yeah.
Don't know why I talk like that. I always try to sound the perfect blend when I forget my swipe card of meant to be here, not going to kill you.
Yeah.
Like, hi. No, that was right. Yeah, how are you? It's Vaughn. I forgot my swipe card, mate. That's kind of how I go.
Yeah. Okay, well.
Hi, it's me, Vaughn, silly Billy. I left my swipe card at home. Buzz me
out. And then you press the button.
Yeah.
And Vaughn, when you press that button, does it sound like that?
Not the one I use, Six. It's my part of the garage.
Yeah, that's not the secret sound. Sorry, mate.
Okay, thank you.
All right, sorry, Nicole. With another chance with Belle just after midday. Jason PJ again as well. 4 and 5 today to win that $40,000 cash. Next on the show, this all started when we talked about Taylor Swift and Katy Perry. And Katy Perry said last week, look, if Taylor Swift apologizes, the best friend beef is over. We can
we'll
be friends again.
Beef.
Yeah.
We thought how great it would be to facilitate that makeup while we not close enough with either of those to make that happen. We took some calls from people who had a falling out with their best friend and would be open to reconciliation. Then behind the scenes, we talked to somebody and we're going to try to make someone friends again.
So all this week, we've been talking to Brooke and Megan, and there was a falling out after a 21st because someone left the party a little too early.
Yeah.
So they say.
That upset Brooke. So Brooke and Megan haven't spoken for about 3 or 4 years now.
They've seen each other in the street, I think, in Hamilton a couple of times, but they've kind of avoided each other.
Yeah.
That's the only contact they've had. Next on the show, they are going to come face-to-face in studio and try to make up. And it's going to be, we don't know where we're going to end up looking. Like, if this is going to be awkward or not.
Are they going to argue? Are they going to be happy to see each other?
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Over the past few days, we have been talking to two friends who were best friends, inseparable. They fell out like 3 or 4 years ago, haven't spoken since, and it was over a 21st birthday, something pretty trivial. Now, we have been attempting to get these two back together. We've heard both their sides of the story, and this morning, we're going to get them together.
All right.
First in studio is Brooke. Good morning.
Hi.
You're in studio with us.
I am.
Is this weird? You've been talking on the phone. We've been talking to you a couple of times on the phone now.
It's very weird. Yeah.
Are you nervous or excited?
I'm nervous because I think I know what's going
to
happen.
So did you hear what Megan had to say yesterday on the show?
No, I didn't. It makes me very nervous because I don't know what
she basically said that she is willing to make up as well and become best friends again.
And she also feels sad that you've missed out on so many years of your life. Mm. So it was positive. It's not as if she was like, she's a dick. So, you know, don't expect a fight.
I think you both sound quite stubborn though. You must have a little stubborn streak to have fallen out over something that's not really that big a deal.
No.
And then 3-4 years later, not be talking still.
Yeah. I think, well, I know that I'm very stubborn.
Just when
I did try.
Yeah. Just when Fletch said it's not that big a deal, you're like, well, it was to me.
At that time.
So, Brooke, we do have a surprise for you this morning. Megan has agreed to come here today to chat it out. To hash it out and hopefully become friends again. So ready to see your ex-best friend for the first time in years?
Yep.
So bring in Megan.
Oh my God, this is just like Jeremy Kyle or one of those shows like Ellen or something. Come on in. Yeah.
I've got like butterfly.
So do I. So you guys are like avoiding
eye contact.
Properly
made eye contact.
Hi. Hi.
Oh, wow, this is awkward. Okay, Megan and Brooke now together and talking.
What? Wait, no, what?
What,
this is,
what was the shit for?
Yeah, this
Megan?
Is strange. Megan, explain how you're feeling.
I'm nervous.
Why?
Well, she used to be like my best... Well, she was my best friend and sister, and then to see her, it's like... It's really emotional, actually. Yeah.
In a good way?
Oh, yeah. For me anyways. I don't know for her.
So, Brooke, how are you feeling then?
Yeah, no, it is good. I think I'm going to cry.
Don't, because...
girls, you know I'll cry.
So, Brooke didn't hear what you had to say with us on air yesterday. Do you want to maybe recap to Brooke some of the things that you said?
Okay. Well, first I got a call and I was actually doing an exam. And it was about... that Brooke had phoned into the show and so I listened to it on the podcast.
Yeah.
And I was really surprised. I felt like some of the things wasn't like exactly correct. And anyway, so when I got the call the other week, it was just like, you know, do you miss Brooke? What actually happened? And then they were like, we heard you both got engaged. If you were still best friends, would she be your bridesmaid or whatever? And so we just talked it out, like what had happened. And
So you said that a lot of things that Brooke said wasn't correct. Do you want to maybe explain to Brooke your side of the story?
Sure. Like, it was, like, on the right lines, but I just feel that there was a big miscommunication with what actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
So you said that I left at 10 o'clock.
Your 21st birthday.
21st, yeah. Yeah. Mm. I recall it being later, but if that's what you believe, then that's all sweet. I actually had to leave because the people that I was, the girls that we were leaving with, actually were dropping me home that night. And I remember being in the car and being just absolutely gutted because obviously what you wrote in that letter, I already knew. I was just devastated that I, you know, obviously upset you, but I just didn't think that it would get to this, I thought. And just some of the things that you said to me, well, you'll hear it in the letter, so, yeah.
Does that, how do you feel now hearing her say that she left the party because those people were her ride? Do you accept that as a reason?
I don't know.
Whether you accept that or not, Brooke, I think, like, you're probably going to have to get past that to be friends again.
Yeah, and I think that's why I wrote the letter.
Yeah.
Which is the one I sent to your house after I came back from the States the second time.
A big problem for Brooke was that you'd read the letter, obviously, and you never replied, Megan. So why was that?
I think I had a lot of personal stuff going on when that letter was sent, and which she now knows about, and so it was kind of hard to manage the boat.
Okay,
yeah.
So you guys have written each other a letter now to read to each other, just to, I guess, what, say how you feel about the situation.
Mm-hmm. We're going to come back next and you can both read exactly what you want to say to each other.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
So in studio with us right now is ex-best friends, Megan and Brooke. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, it's a little bit frosty in here.
Ex-best friends, but would you, like, how would you describe your relationship over the last, let's say, year? Would you acquaintances, associates, or would you use the F word?
Not the F, no, we haven't communicated, I guess.
Do you move in the same social circles? Is there a Venn diagram of each of your friends with an overlap?
No, not anymore.
We used to be in the same, well, it was kind of like you and I and then everyone else really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And
well,
then,
we worked together.
Yeah. But now not anymore.
Okay. So, and you're both engaged, and am I right in saying that you both would have had each other as bridesmaids?
I definitely would have had
you. Yeah.
Oh, that makes me really sad.
It's so sad that you're over just like, yeah. Okay, well, so you've written a letter each to read to each other now, because it is hard when we put you on the spot to, you know, to get your words in order. So you've written a letter each. Who are we going to start with?
Why don't we start with Brooke? You got us into this.
It was your 21st.
You brought us here today, so.
You got us into this by celebrating your birthday.
No, serious face. Take it away, bro.
Okay. Well, firstly, I just want to say I'm so sorry that you have to come on the radio. But surely you weren't, like, shocked. This is something that I would have done.
Yeah, I thought this is typical,
bro. Yeah, okay. And I just want to say I do miss you. And we've had so many, like, we've done so many things together and had so many, like, crazy fun memories. We used to come here lots and do crazy things in Auckland, which was quite fun. And it does suck that our relationship won't be like it was before, but I understand that we both have different friends now and, like, different best friends now, but it would be nice to have, like, some sort of friendship and talk regularly, and, like, I could talk to you about wedding stuff and you can talk to me about wedding stuff. And I really would love to have that coffee that I've been asking you to meet up for a lot. Or maybe we can just, like, turn it into a wine or something. And no matter what happens, like, I wish you all the best and I hope that you are always.
Oh my Lord.
Oh no. It's like going second. You've been like, I've wildly misjudged the mood of these letters.
Yeah, I wrote something.
Mine's got the B word in it.
That's how I would have reacted if I was in that situation.
Okay, so Megan, it's your turn to say what you want to say to Brooke.
Okay, so I actually wrote, like, a really formal letter.
Oh, like a legal.
I just said, I have no idea how we got to this point where we went from being inseparable to not looking at each other if we passed in the street. I feel that you didn't properly understand the night of your 21st and blew up at me before knowing what actually happened. I was hurt with the things you said to me, as I never thought you would ever think those things of me, someone who has been by your side in your darkest and best moments. I feel as if we have missed out on precious moments and moments that I really wanted you to be there, like by my side. I'm gutted that we lost our friendship and all the memories we had. I would like it if we could work on our friendship and try and gain that back. You were my best friend and like my sister, and it is guttering that you're not in my life anymore. Yeah.
How do you feel listening to that?
It's kind of nice to have a reply in general, just some sort of something, because that was along the lines of the letter that I wrote. Was quite long and formal and emotional as well. It's just sad. It's all sad.
See, do you think that this whole misunderstanding, whatever happened and whoever was at fault, do you think that it's been worth missing out on so much of each other's lives?
Definitely not.
So do you both think that you're ready to like hang out again and talk?
I would love that.
Yeah, I would too. I'm still the same person, so and I know Brooke is, so I think if we were to hang out, it would just be like... Like, I hold no grudges to what she, you know, said to me at all.
Have you both got bridesmaids?
I have thought about them, but, yeah.
Get in there, bro.
We don't have a date set either.
No, stop planting.
That's exactly what a friendship that's just had the refresh button needs, the pressure of wedding planning.
Thank you.
No, they're going to do it together. So, yes. I mean, like, where to from here? What do you think, Megan, going forward?
Well, I just think that it would be nice if we just didn't even have to talk about it. Like, every time I see you, I'm like, do I talk to you? Or is it she going to just be like, ugh? You know, like...
Yeah. This is the first time we've talked about it face-to-face.
Yeah, we've never spoken about it face-to-face.
Yeah.
And so when you called in the radio, I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, this is so broke.
I like think, good on you both for coming here and, like, sharing it with everyone. Like, because it probably would have been quite scary, especially for Megan, to be approached about this.
I know. I felt bad that she got a call and pretty much had said that I'd dubbed her in on the radio, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, my gosh.
Mm.
So are you happy with that, Brooke? Are you ready to just kind of let it go and move on, not talk about it again?
Yes. Yeah, I think we can do that.
All right, come here.
Oh! Yay!
Stop it.
It was a long hug. That was a bestie friendship hug. That one.
Well, it hasn't all been for nothing either, because you guys are going to work on your friendship. There's a couple of tears from Brooke, but we're going to hook you up with breakfast too at Gusto at the Grand at Sky City, so you guys can chat. And please don't talk about this anymore. Okay.
So go and have breakfast at Sky City. Talk about anything else.
Go crazy
else,
too. Like, eat enough for lunch.
Yeah, because, yeah, so I don't know who's coming for. I'm certainly not paying.
You're not paying.
Get everything. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Apologies to anyone that has a few tears on the way to work this morning. We may have ruined a few, a little bit of makeup.
Yep. Including Macca's makeup. He had done his eye makeup this morning. And
yeah.
He's crying, and that's okay.
So they were getting emotional in studio.
I think
stopping themselves.
Have we mended a friendship? Or do you think there was?
I hope so.
You know what? Can I say I don't think so.
Do you not reckon?
There was a little bit of passive aggressive comments that I was like, oh, don't say that.
I don't know if we got everything.
It's hard.
I feel
because
like if it was. Have you guys been watching Last Resort still? So I'm still loving the show, and yeah. I've learned a lot.
Yeah,
I think just that. Snideness, like there was a couple of passive aggressive comments in there between them.
Are you supposed to talk it all out and bring it all up, or are you supposed to let it go? Because I don't think you ever can let it go unless you talk about it. But then
I'd like to think they can just let it go and be friends.
Hopefully,
because what a waste! That was the biggest.
They had such a great friendship.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll keep you posted. We'll report back tomorrow how the lunch
goes.
Did
they kiss? Because that nearly ruined Fletch and I's friendship.
We
thought we wanted something more, and we tried it a cup five
You're
or six times.
You're not helping the Google search. Only need to type in R Fletch. And then it comes up.
Are we still doing that?
Yeah, we're still calling Fletch late at night.
Oh my gosh, we're not. We're no. Our flight's landing in Wellington is beating us in the.
Are you kidding me?
I bought RFL.
Are flea bites itchy? Are flu vaccines safe? And where's Are Fletch and Vaughan Gay? Is it like four or five now?
I'm going to go to actual Google.
Oh, no, you have to put R-F-L-E-T. And then you
get
Fletch
and Vaughan Gay. Yeah, are flea bites itchy? Is beating us. We need a kiss again.
You know, just shrugging. Oh, just clowning around for the radio, guys. Just clowning around for the radio. Just, yeah, no, nothing to see here. Nothing like, I haven't already got permission from my wife to do it or anything. So don't worry about it. Don't clear your schedules. Don't make. Yeah. Well. Oh,
all right, it's time for.
Oh, good work. Fact of the day.
Today's fact of the day. Yesterday, I don't know if you guys know this, but in West Auckland, we had a fire at the dump.
I saw that. You got a news notification.
They call them a refuge station now?
Yes, refuse.
Dump sounds like it's a bit yuck.
Yeah, if you live next to a refuse transfer station, it's a lot flasher than living next to a dump.
Yeah. I mean, it probably smells the same.
It does.
Very much the same.
Still a lot of seagulls.
So, heaps of seagulls. So, this apparently started in, if you've ever been on the concourse in West Auckland, someone goes through the rubbish, and if there's good stuff, they're like, ooh, that's still good. And they give it a wipe and they put it in this little store.
Okay.
Some amazing stuff in there.
Yeah, right.
I'll go for a bit of a look.
So, you're saying if I was to dump a body,
they'd
find
it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, that's
not... They'd wipe it and put it in the store and try to sell it.
Okay, I'm going to have to dump it somewhere else, aren't I now? I didn't know they went through the rubbish.
Or put it in something.
Right.
No, I'm not.
I'm kidding, obviously.
Yeah. Because I don't want to help. This conversation is going to be
useless. He'll kiss you, but he's not helping you bury a dead body.
Oh, no, I don't want to help anybody get disposed of anything. It's not that great a help. You can't hide it inside something.
Okay.
If you put it in a fridge, they'll look in the fridge, for example. So when the fire, I thought... I said to my wife, what if they can never put that out and we just have to sit here and watch West Auckland burn? She was like, why do you think of stupid things like that?
You are so dramatic. Yeah,
and where is this going to fact of the day?
I Googled the world's biggest dump fire.
Okay. Of course you did.
So today's fact of the day is there is a fire in a dump in Siberia that has been burning for 4.5 years.
Oh, well, that's what the problem is with global warming and the ozone thingy-majiggy.
The ozone thingy-majiggy, yeah.
The hole or the layer or whatever it is.
Right, why don't they try and put it out?
There's just no point.
They've given up.
They tried and they were like,
that is the worst excuse. Tried.
And the best part of it is that this one that's been burning for like 4.5 years, there's two other ones, like close-ish, that are also on fire.
Right.
And they're like, you know what? Like, we're just going to leave them too. Because
can't you, like, put something on it? Wet tea towel.
You need a really big tea towel. So when this dump started, there's a whole lot of stuff in there. But the main content of this dump is from a mill that takes a forestry mill. So the trees that get cut down, they cut them into planks. They start to process the wood. All the offcuts, all the sawdust, all everything gets...
Yep.
Swept into a truck and dumped. At the time that it caught fire in 2013, there was 800 Olympic swimming pools worth of sawdust sitting there. And it got wet and there was compression and there was pressure. So no one lit this on fire. It just started smoking.
Oh.
And they were like, a bit of smoke out there.
Don't worry about it.
And then, of course, a bit of wind came through and it caught on fire.
And it's been burning ever since.
And it started burning. They tried to put it out, but they only made it worse.
Yeah.
So they were like, you know what? Like, it's pretty cold and it's very wet around here. So I don't think it's going to spread to surrounding forest. It did spread to surrounding forest. So they were like, put the forest out.
Yeah.
Put the forest out and build a wall around the fire.
Yeah, like a concrete wall.
So they built a wall around the fire. But here's where it gets weirder. They keep dumping more sawdust on it.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not a genius, but dumping sawdust on a fire doesn't put it out.
If we dump more of what is on fire on the fire, will it put the fire out? Oh, no, Sergio, what can go wrong?
So, in Russia, in Siberia, there is a fire that they just keep chucking more fuel on that's been burning for 4.5 years, unchecked, and it is the longest running and largest dump fire in the world.
Fact of the
day. A
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Good morning, Caitlin.
Good morning.
Now, behind the scenes, producer Caitlin and Jessica, what are we doing here?
Well, we're very late and we've got last calls and we've been late all morning and I get in trouble. And now you're springing something on me.
So it's Fletcher's fault.
We are springing something on you, producer Caitlin.
I'm the innocent party.
For once? Oh, yeah, right. You're definitely behind this.
I am not behind
whatever.
This is now, Megan Sellers production.
Oh. We're joined on the phone by Ali, who you flat with, who's Megan's best friend. Good morning, Ali.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, Ali. I miss you.
I miss you too.
Ali's burnt everything you own. Radio funny. No, she hasn't. But that was really bad.
She's
so
not
now this
at
isn't
home.
Gonna...
She's in Wellington.
She's on tour at the moment.
Oh. Now, Caitlin is not happy. Something's happened in the flat that we need to talk about.
Yes.
So I don't know
what?
How...
What? She's not even there.
This is a historic incident.
This is...
It's well within the statute of limitations.
Yeah.
Ali, why are you doing this to me?
Okay, so there's been a few... How many times has this happened, Ali?
This has happened once that I know of.
Okay.
But once is enough.
Okay. Ali, what did Caitlin do?
Caitlin, you ate my chocolate mint sliced biscuits.
Which are Ali's favourite. She rations these.
What brand chocolate mint sliced biscuits?
Arnott.
The original chocolate mint
you can't,
slice.
This is
Ellen.
Thing, right?
Ellen,
no,
Ellen,
no,
you be
Caitlin.
Careful.
And so, Caitlin, please, Ali, what happened next?
She replaced them, but with griffins.
I got the wrong one.
And then, what happened when you raised this issue, Ali?
She said she didn't eat them.
How many times did you have to go, Caitlin?
Caitlin.
No, I said that my friend came and we had some together, but she didn't.
You know my
There's no friend.
There was no friend,
There's
was
no
there?
Friend.
Ali, why are you doing this to me? You know that like I've got a trainer now and I'm not supposed to be...
You know I ration them. I have two every night.
I replaced them. What more do you want?
We need to talk about your willpower to have two biscuits a night. That is insane.
She's got a tiny stomach.
So, how many times have you done this, Caitlin?
Oh, like, wait, what?
Caitlin,
what?
Be honest.
You know that I have not had any chocolate biscuits in the last month. I just need to clear that up.
No, but it's not just chocolate biscuits, is it? It's popcorn.
God, what are you trying to do here?
Caitlin,
I ate your peanut butter last night. Shut up.
God.
Okay, you know how we had two best friends on that had to, like, get back together? This is you and me now. I'm moving out.
See, I'm just, like, the little wedge between.
Yeah. Now, this is Megan. This is Megan's revenge for that time we got you that jacket so you could be a trio rather than a duo.
Well, why am I always the one that's, like, in the shit? I didn't do anything.
Because you replaced someone's biscuits with a different brand.
So... I forgot the details. Kill me.
Replace with griffins.
Oh, come on. It's not like it was crunchy peanut butter and I replaced it with smooth. That would be a crime.
It's mint treat and mint slice, right? That's the two brands?
Yeah.
Which
the Arnott's ones, like shout out to Arnott's, those are the best biscuits in the world.
Okay, you can't come on here and then try and get free biscuits. I'm house sitting for a month, Ali, so you won't have to put up with me. You're sad now, aren't you?
Thank you, Ali. Okay, we've made producer Caitlin angry now. She'll answer your calls. For last calls to win Ed Sheeran tickets to Dunedin, don't expect a great phone manner from her. Oh, she's put it.
Her trainer, Tom, this was a while ago. She's been very good.
This is pre.
Hey, lady, you right?
No.
This is pre. Hey.
Pre-training with Tom.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan. The podcast.
It's time for last calls. Kate, we're going to start with you. What's your story for last calls?
Hi, guys. So mine happened about a year ago, and it was with my friend, and we'd had a bit of a big night out in Auckland.
Yeah.
And so we decided that we would finish the night off by going to the amazing Danny Doolin's in the Viaduct.
Oh. Absolute classic. Okay.
Yeah. And we put a bit of effort, like we put on heaps, well, not heaps of makeup, but enough for it to be right. And I had, we're a few wines deep at this stage, and I had a rendezvous with a gentleman on the dance floor.
Okay.
And then at the end of, so, you know, at the end of the night, we decided to leave. And as we were walking out, the bouncer goes, oh, looks like you girls had a good night. So we thought that was a bit weird. We're like, how do you know? and then we're leaving the viaduct. And this guy walked past and he goes to me, someone's been pashing. I was like, what is happening? How does he know this? Oh, and then my friend looked at me and she just started laughing and she goes, you look like the Joker from Batman because there was red lipstick all over my face.
There's a problem with red lipstick. If you know you're gonna head out to get some action, red lipstick's not a great idea.
Yeah. Oh, no. It wasn't the best look.
So were you pashing on the dance floor?
Who was it? Oh, just some random guy?
So you were just like having a full blown pash on the dance floor.
Well, it's Danny Doolin's. That's what you do.
Yeah, the mood just takes you. The mood just takes you.
It's town.
Yeah, exactly.
It's town.
It's town.
Sorry, that's just what you do.
You haven't been to the club for a while. Boy, no. It's very true. All right, wait there. We'll vote in a sec. Kate, Claudia, what's your story for Last Calls?
Okay, hi. When we were younger, so probably like 8 and 9, my mum and dad told us to go upstairs and get ready for bed. My brother was about to go and have a shower. And the next thing, I heard this screaming coming from his room. I went running in and he was naked apart from his shirt and he was leaning over this table and he had his hand up on the bookshelf and it was resting on a clock radio.
Yeah.
So in my panic, I thought, oh my God, he's being electrocuted.
Yeah.
So my dad comes bolting up the stairs. He was like, what's going on? I was like, he's being electrocuted. He grabbed him by the shirt, pulled him, and then I realised that this whole table underneath the shelf had also moved back like a couple of feet. And it was then that we realised that as he had leant over this table to get a book to read on the toilet before his shower, he had pushed the drawer shut on his genitals. and then we had pulled him 2 foot by the power of his genitals with this oak table attached. So, yeah.
What was the damage?
Well, he's married with 2 kids and he's a detective in the Metropolitan Police, so I'm guessing like his manhood is intact.
probably just a bit stretched out, if anything, like it still works, but maybe a bit stretched.
Elongated maybe, exactly. I haven't asked to see it, I thought that would be inappropriate.
All right, let's vote. The Tribal Council, our favourite story today.
Oh, no.
It's a hardy.
Well, it wouldn't have been hardy for a little while.
Claudia, congratulations.
Yay, thank you.
Your brother's pain is your gain. We've got a double pass to see Ed Sheeran, his Dunedin show, part of his Divide World Tour. Ed Sheeran playing 3 shows in Dunedin, now the 3rd show. You've got a double pass. It's all yours.
I actually got a double pass?
Yeah, you've won it. Yeah.
I thought I was in the draw to win a double pass.
We've voted your...
Oh, my God.
That was the Fletch, Vaughn and Megan podcast. For more, catch them every morning from 6 and check them out on Facebook. ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan. ZM.